shepherds went in haste to Bethlehem and found Mary and Joseph and the infant lying in a manger. When they saw this, they made known the message that had been told them about this child. All who heard it were amazed by what had been told them by the shepherds. And Mary kept all these things, reflecting on them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as it had been told to them. When 8 days were completed for his circumcision, he was named Jesus, the name given to him by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
I've not yet had the opportunity to see it since it's been newly renovated, but at St. Meinrad on the top of Monte Cassino Hill is a shrine to the Blessed Mother. And one of the things about that shrine, as you look at the walls of that shrine, there's titles of Mary, all these various titles that Mary is known by, Seat of Wisdom. And even here as we come here, Our Lady of Perpetual Help, Mary is known by a lot of different names and a lot of different titles that speak of her relationship with her son and the way she points to her son and her relationship with us and how she is present to us. But today we come together and we celebrate the oldest, we honor Mary under the oldest title that she has been given. Today Mary is announced as Mother of God, the first title bestowed on her by the Church. And it dates all the way back to the controversies of Arianism and the Council of Nicaea. The priest Arius declared that Jesus, while the highest creature ever made, nevertheless was a creature. He was not divine. He was not God. And that started a huge controversy in the Church, a wrestling that went on for decades and brought about the Council of Nicaea, in which the Church solemnly declared that no, he was of the same substance, which we say in our creed every time, as the Father. But then there were more controversies of, well, how is that possible? How do you have him be human and be divine? And ultimately that gets defined at the Council of Ephesus. And the definition that was given to us at the Council of Ephesus declares that Mary is Theotokos, Greek meaning literally God-bearer, mother of God, that the divine came to be within her womb, and that she brought the divine Son of God into the world. And as most things with Mary, that title ultimately points back to Jesus. She is what she is in relationship to Jesus. And by understanding her in that way, she is one who helps us to understand more deeply the mystery of Christ. By calling her Theotokos, the Church is saying something very important about who Jesus is. He's not just a creature. The Word indeed has become flesh. And the Lord of Lords, the mighty God of hosts, has made his dwelling place among us. But it is nevertheless a title that pertains to Mary herself. And I think a very beautiful one, and perhaps the most important one, Mary is Mother. And not just Mother of Christ, but Christ has given her to us. Behold your Mother. And is a Mother to us as well. And what strikes me as I sat with the readings today about that image of Mary is outside of the infancy narratives at the very beginning with her great fiat, I am the handmaid of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word, and the great Magnificat, in which she sings at the visitation with Elizabeth, my soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. Mary is silent. Mary really does not speak. And yet she's there throughout his ministry. She is present at the foot of the cross and says nothing as she watches her own son die. She is there at the time of the presentation when Simeon tells her that her son will be the rise and fall of many, and that hearts will be revealed because a sword will pierce her through her hearts. She's even there at Pentecost when the Holy Spirit is given to the Church. She is a disciple. And she's one who's there. But she doesn't go out. We have no story of her going out to preach. She's silent in all of that. Ends her days traditionally in Ephesus with John the Apostle, the one that stood at the foot of the cross, the beloved disciple. And what strikes me about that is, though Mary doesn't have a lot to say to us, that we hear in sacred scripture, even in the tradition, Mary's always there. She's always there. She's always present. And the great image that's actually given to us of her, outside of the Magnificat and her fiat, is the line that we hear of her specifically in the Gospel today that happens twice in the course of the infancy narratives. And Mary held these things in her heart and reflected upon them. And I think what comes to me in that is that Mary is not simply a model for us of obedience and of contemplation. Mary is not just a model for us of saying yes. That Mary, in a very real way, is unique in that we have a relationship with her as mother. And then coming to know her and trying to build relationship with her allows us to come to know her son as she knows him. Because she was always there. Because she held those things in her heart. And now allows us, in relationship with her, to come to know more intimately and more deeply the mystery and the great gift of her own son. I think in some ways that's the great mystery behind the rosary itself. We don't just contemplate Jesus' life and that of the Blessed Virgin, but we do that through her eyes. And so I invite us, maybe particularly this year, as we begin a new year, once again dedicating ourselves to the Blessed Virgin in her protection and care, that perhaps this year we commit ourselves a little bit more deeply to coming to know who Mary is in our lives. To trust that in this year and in everything that we face, that she's always there. That we're not alone. That she's always present to us. And in being present to us, always shows us her own son. Always directs our hearts to the gift of salvation that only he can bring. Always helps us to understand and live a little bit more deeply in the mystery of the Word made flesh. In her role as mother. Mother of Christ. Mother of the Church. Mother of each one of us. The last thought that I have there is that the Church, even though this is the great feast of Mary, nevertheless does not forget that this is the beginning of the civil new year and offers us a blessing in our first reading. The great blessing that is given to us in the Old Testament. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you and be radiant to you. May He bring you peace. And I think that's important for us to remember, that as we go forward, we don't know what this year is going to hold for us. We don't even really know if we'll see the other end of this year. But we have to be, as a Christian people, a people of hope and of trust, that no matter what, God's blessing precedes us in all things. That we are not alone. That God is present to us. That His Blessed Mother is present to us. And that their blessing goes forward with us, no matter what we face, no matter what we encounter, so that we can always be a people of confidence and a people of hope in what it is that God can accomplish in our lives. Amen.
Amen.